He's got one of the biggest audiences in the history of the world. I mean, this guy is unbelievable. Try speaking for 3 hours without taking calls. Taking calls is easy. Okay, I'll answer this one, I'll answer that one. He goes for 3 hours, and he's got an audience that's fantastic.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Hey, he was talking about you. Coming to you from Car Subaru Studio. Welcome to our top stories this hour. And we've got an awful lot to get to. So let's jump right into The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
A story that we brought to you exclusively on Monday. I had been contacted over the weekend by a citizen named Richard Schwartz. And Richard told me about his experience at a Seattle City Council meeting. He went to speak, and ironically, the topic he was going to speak about was that the city council is not taking into account the citizens' opinions on stuff. They're just making up their minds, and public opinion doesn't seem to matter. Whether it be on, he was talking specifically about a cycling track over on Westlake, where a lot of the people said, look, someone's going to get seriously injured because people are blowing through stop signs and you guys should really rethink this. But whether it's that issue or the homeless encampments all around the region or the business owners in Ballard who said you can't do the missing link right in front of our businesses down on the old Ballard waterfront, or the homeowners who are saying that property crime is through the roof, the city council just doesn't listen because they consider their masters to be not the citizens, you and me, but the developers, the contractors, the labor unions, the people who are giving them power through money. And so when Richard got up to speak, and again, his topic, they didn't know this. His topic was going to be that the city council is just kind of freezing out people from civic participation. And here's what happened to him.
Next is Richard Schwartz.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon. Before you start the clock, could you stop it for a second?
Okay. Now, right here, he sent me the video link. And the Seattle Channel, they do a cutaway of a camera that's at the end of the city council desks. Every single member of the council is on a laptop or on their phone or on an iPad, but none of them are looking at the citizen who came down to talk to them. And that's when he said, hey, can you stop the clock for just a moment here?
It's real discouraging to come up here and see all the heads down. It's like, you know,
sir, you're on a 2 minute timer here, so let's go.
So this is Deborah Juarez giving him the snotty, you're on a timer, so let's go. Clock's running. Don't you dare question us.
I'm not following you.
You're on a 2 minute timer.
Could you start it over, please?
No, we're not going to. Just go ahead.
So it was unreasonable for you to ask that people look up and give me their attention?
Sir, you have 2 minutes. We're all looking at you. You have 2 minutes. Now you have a minute and 30 seconds.
Okay, so they took 30 seconds while they're all looking at their phones. And, you know, imagine if you're an employer and you go in to talk to one of your employees. And while you're talking to them, they're playing with their phone the whole time. That's essentially what the city council's doing. They're ignoring one of the citizens that they're supposed to be representing.
Okay, well, I guess I won't be able to say it. Last week, you limited, this kind of goes to the heart of what I was going to talk about, which was the state of our democracy. Last week, you limited speakers because of the number of speakers to 1 minute each, but you allowed Pamela Jayapal to speak as long as she wanted to. It was 4 or 5 minutes. And it reminded me of George Orwell's famous saying from Animal Farm about how all animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others.
And you hear they're pouring water right there. You hear that? While he's talking about this, one of them's pouring a glass of water while he's talking about how they're ignoring him.
All animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I feel like I'm being treated now, just because I was kind of asking for your attention. Like, I noticed you all were very attentive to Ms. Jayapal the other last week. And I just wanted to ask for your attention before I started. And I immediately got a hostile response back from you. I don't understand that. So you don't ever respond to citizens or what's...
I do, sir, but you have 2 minutes for public comment to the agenda items.
So she is just freezing him out because he dared ask for Deborah Juarez's attention.
Well, it's all on tape, and I think it's a pretty sad commentary that you think that asking for you guys to look up off of your computers and give attention during this short period of time was an unreasonable thing. I really feel bad about that.
Thank you. Who's next?
Who's next?
So this is about, this is revealing of what I talk about all the time, that the city council, they're beholden to masters, but it's not the citizens. They are willing to destroy the city. The citizens might have some decent ideas, but they would rather destroy the city and do the bidding of the contractors and developers, the huge money that has bought them off, than pay attention to citizens who make the trek. Not an easy trek, by the way, to go downtown, to come up to a city council meeting. You want to speak for 2 minutes, and they're all playing with their phones and their laptops. It's shameful. It's absolutely shameful. And this video is getting some traction now on Facebook and elsewhere. Okay, you just heard the audio. Now let's hear from the guy at the center of it up next in The Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
Okay, so that's what happened at the city council meeting, the audio that you just heard. The guy who was the speaker at that meeting is Richard Schwartz, and he joins us exclusively here on the Dory Monson Show. Richard, I appreciate you coming on with me this afternoon.
Yeah, well, I hope we can say a few things that will maybe get attention of some of our city officials.
Well, I mean, it's interesting. You and I were talking off the air, and you said that you and I are probably pretty different politically, but the message you were going to deliver is that the city council just has not been very responsive to citizens on a variety of issues. And so tell me what it was like. You were going to get up and talk about that for 2 minutes. And tell me what you saw with all the tops of their heads as they sat at the podium before you.
Okay, well, just briefly, I was going to kind of try to compare how a lot of progressives are concerned about Trump is kind of corroding democracy. And it got to me, I got to thinking that the way that my community, and I'm sure other communities, have been treated by city officials, which is a lot of times just you make an inquiry and you just get no response at all, is really corrosive as well to democracy, because what it does is people say, well, sure, they don't even respond to me, so I guess it doesn't bother matter, and so I'm just going to stop participating, which of course is not good for democracy.
No,
so
great.
So when I got up there, and that was the topic I intended to speak on, I saw the tops of their heads, and I've been to a few meetings before, and that's kind of the way it always is. So I thought, well, this is another example of kind of what I came to talk about, so maybe I'll mention it. And so I just asked, and I asked very politely, I thought, if they could look up and give me their attention for my 2 minutes of time.
Well, and let me just say, you contacted me on Friday. You told me that the video was available at the Seattle Channel. And when I went and looked at it, Richard, it was really stunning because they had a cutaway that was right down the row of the city council members. And every single one of them was either on a laptop or an iPad or on their phone. And not one of them was listening to you, even though this was set aside for citizen comment, where they're supposed to just pay attention to what you have to say. And I thought you made a devastatingly effective point the way you said it.
Yeah, and I might add that that afternoon I wrote again what I thought was a very polite email to Ms. Juarez, kind of trying to explain again and give some context to who I was and what I was there for. And I was hoping to, again, get a response, so I waited a week. And then yesterday I called her office and got a staffer, and I had a good conversation with her, but I asked, you know, can I expect to get some kind of response to the email I had sent the week previously? And
yeah,
she was, again, very noncommittal that she wasn't sure.
Well, and yeah, I mean, we'll tell everybody here that I told you, I wrote back to you on Friday. I said, yeah, I probably would want to talk about this. And you told me, you said, out of fairness, I want to give her office a week to respond. And then when the week had expired, you reached out to me again and you said, yeah, I probably will talk about this because it was so incredibly disrespectful. And now this video is it's going somewhat viral on Facebook, and people around the country are seeing how disdainful the Seattle City Council seems to be of citizens like you.
Yeah, when I talked to the staffer, she was trying to make the point that even though they're not looking up, they're listening, but they're doing everything at the same time. And my point was, you set aside 20 minutes out of the week, supposedly for public comment, and I just don't quite understand why during those 20 minutes you can't detach from your other things that you might be doing, and I understand they have lots of things they're doing, and just give citizens their attention for 20 minutes out of the week.
Yeah, well, and you cannot pay attention if you're texting or if you're emailing, and it's like if one of us walked into our boss's office, or maybe more correctly, one of our employees, and started talking to them, and they were playing with their phone while we were talking with them. We wouldn't tolerate that from an employee, and yet these city council members who supposedly are working for you and me, it's tolerable from them? I thought that's why I thought you made such a fantastic point with what you said.
It's kind of interesting that you raised that point, because in my follow-up email that afternoon to Ms. Juarez, I actually made that similar point. I asked rhetorically if she was, I didn't know if she had children, but I said, if you had children and you were trying to talk to them and they were playing with their devices, would you consider that to be appropriate? Would you allow them to keep doing that? And I was hoping maybe I'd get some response to that, but I didn't.
No. Well, look, you made a great point. You illustrated that we've got politicians that just are not responsive to us. They seem to want to lock us out of the process, and it's like they have this attitude of royalty more than public servants. And I think that's what this illustrated.
Could I give you another quick example?
Yeah, real quick.
From our community, last year we presented the council with a list of 350 names from our community of people who are concerned about this pedestrian safety issue on the Westlake cycle track. And we definitely thought at that point, well, if 350 people see this problem, that we would get a response. And that's just kind of an example of how we've been dealt with. We never heard anything back from them. Even when 350 people said, we're worried about pedestrian safety, would you please engage with us and let's see if we can do something about it.
Yeah, no, look, they're serving their masters, and their masters are not the citizens. Their masters are developers and contractors and people who can galvanize their power. So I thought you made a fantastic point. I appreciate that you reached out to me. I mean, especially when you say you and I don't agree politically on much, but you reached out to me with this, and I'm glad we were able to bring this to the forefront, Richard.
Okay, well, let's cross our fingers and hope we'll see some change.
We'll see. All right. Richard, good talk to you. I appreciate you taking the time. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you.
All right, that's Richard Schwartz, who exposed the council's indifference to citizens. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead update.
Meanwhile, the city that the city council rules over is dying. That was the title of that Como News special last weekend. Now some of the city officials are responding to that. I played you clips on Monday from this Como special, Seattle is Dying, which they still have up and available at comonews.com. But one of the guys they talked to was Travis, who's got quite a story of why he's out on the streets.
You're a user, right? What's your drug of choice?
I use methamphetamines.
Yeah.
And I try to at least use it once a day. But I don't really consider myself a drug abuser. The shit is amazing.
You like the meth?
I love it.
34 criminal cases in 4 years. Things like assault, attempted rape, trespassing.
You're on a list, you know.
Nice.
There's a list of the 100. They came out with the 100 frequent flyers.
Really?
Friendly faces.
Of everything?
Of all. The entire...
Which one am I?
Which number on the list?
Yeah.
Oh, you're up there.
Nice.
You're up there.
I was just saying, like, I've definitely been the most in Seattle. Darren team.
So this guy is proud to be one of the biggest recidivist criminals in the city. They played some bicycle body cam footage of an encounter with him a while back.
Put the bike down, Travis.
This is body cam footage Travis. Of an incident on First and Pike a little more than a year ago.
Travis.
Travis.
Hey,
Travis.
Come on, Travis. Travis. Hey, you fucking bitch. Hey. Travis, put the bike down.
It started with property destruction and escalated into assaulting police officers.
As you heard, 34 times this guy had been arrested or encountered police in 4 years. And I'm sure that for every one of those 34, there were probably 50 crimes that went unreported. And that's why he said he's sure that he's one of the biggest criminals in the city. So now Channel 4 is getting some reaction. Jenny Durkin, she just put on her rose-colored glasses, and she said, oh, that special paints such a distorted picture of our city.
I did see the special, and I think it's unfortunate that focused on a very limited part of Seattle. Again, I think if you went to any neighborhood in Seattle today and told the story from Elkhi to Seward Park to up north to Seattle Center, you're going to see a city that is thriving with people who care, that's welcoming and diverse.
Yeah, except, Madam Mayor, we had a listener yesterday who sent us a picture that she took of a guy in the middle of the intersection on 145th in Lake City holding a screwdriver, wearing what appeared to be a hospital bracelet and a gown dangling out of the back of his clothes. And you got this, people just driving into work are seeing this every single morning. You had a woman who was walking to work a few weeks ago, and a guy who's been assaulting random women for months tries to throw her off an overpass 40 feet above I-5. And for Jenny Durkin to say, eh, they just didn't look at the nice parts of the city. That's because the ugly parts so overwhelm whatever good remains. But the drug addiction, the homelessness, the vagrancy, that is an extension of one-party liberal politics. Democrats have created what is Seattle today, and the city is undeniably dying. And when we have that economic downturn, when the economy that always runs in cycles, when it cycles down, you're going to see businesses that are desperate because of all the unreasonable regulations you've put on them. The economy is masking a much, much deeper, more serious problem. So they remain in denial, and that is your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Hersey's going to check the news, and then we'll count down our favorite sound bites of the day. Awesome audio coming up next. Well, before I get to our awesome audio, did you hear the latest in the college recruiting scandal?
Oh, no.
This just came across. Lori Loughlin Luckland's daughter, Olivia Jade, she reportedly is furious at her parents. She blames them for destroying her career as an influencer because they pushed her to go into college. They paid $500,000 to get her into USC. She's been dropped by Sephora and Tresemme. And according to sources, she will not leave the house. She's furious and will not talk to her parents. And there's a possibility that she will sue her parents.
Really?
For destroying
her. Who's the source of this?
It's on Daily Mail, and they got it from, they usually
suing
cite
her
their
parents.
Source. Yeah.
I mean, her parents do have a lot of money.
Source told Entertainment Tonight.
And I think they've also had Lori saying that she thought that her heart was in the right place doing it, and then also saying that William H. Macy has shed a lot of tears over this.
Mm. And William Macy is with Felicity Huffman.
Right. But yeah. Just getting yeah, different
both
responses.
Of them, yeah. Oy, oy, oy.
Yeah. So.
Thanks, Sean. Full house.
Oh. I didn't recognize the tune. Okay, so that's the latest from the college recruiting scandal. And with that as mere prelude, let's get to our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
I wanted to give some credit. When I was coaching at Shorecrest, we would often share the gym during the same time of the year as the hip-hop squad. And I tell you what, I watched those kids. They would work as hard as any athletic team on their routines, and they would often spend 3-4 hours in the gym working on their routines. And I just saw that Shorecrest Hip Hop won the national championship for the fourth time, and here they are celebrating their championship.
Number three.
To hopefully plays in any place. So first was just insane. I feel a lot of pride being on this team because I feel like it just represents so many other things in dance. I think it represents diversity and teamwork and respect and even fun.
Yeah, it's a lot of kids who might not play any other sport or participate in any other activity. Here's their coach.
They take ownership of what they are doing and their progress in helping others succeed as well.
There you go. Four-time national champs right here at Shorecrest. At number two, Michael Jackson had a super fan. So much of a fan, he officially changed his name to Michael Jackson. But now, you know, with all the pedophile stuff, the fan really regrets it.
Number two.
My name is John Michael Jackson. In light of the recent allegations that have come into the news and the documentary Leaving Neverland, I'm desperately trying to change my name so I can try to get a job back in the care industry. My original birth name was Ben Lomas. What made me change my name to Michael Jackson? I was a very big fan, a lifelong fan, and at the time I thought it was maybe a nice tribute to him. I used to be a huge Michael Jackson fan. My first concert was the History Tour back in 97, which turned out to be the last time he ever played in this country as well. From then, I collected everything, dolls, memorabilia.
Yeah, that's like any local super fans of the former Seattle mayor who changed their name to Ed Murray. They regret that too. Okay, and at number one on Ellen's show, she had a 9-year-old kid from Australia, Taj Ferrant. This is him playing the guitar to the song Sweet Child of Mine.
Number one.
How about that? 9 years old.
He's only been playing for 2 years.
Pretty impressive. Those are our favorite sound bites of the day. Today's Science coming up next. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. Another gorgeous afternoon. I'm going to head out into the sunshine. But not until another stellar edition of
Today's Science. That the end is near.
Today's sign the world is soon coming to an end. Let's start in Maricopa, Arizona, where a 48-year-old mother of 7 adopted kids has been arrested on child abuse charges. According to court documents, Michelle Hackney has been charged with 7 counts of child abuse, 5 counts of unlawful imprisonment, 2 counts of child molestation. The woman operates a YouTube channel. And here's how easy it is to become a YouTube star. She has 800,000 subscribers and more than 250 million total views. So you can make a lot of dough if you have a following like that. And on the channel, it featured her 7 adopted children. They range in age from 6 to 15. And they're doing all kinds of scripted adventures, Nerf battles. It ends with the children facing the camera with a plea to like and subscribe to our channel. But now, according to the court documents, they say that the mom used cruel methods to force the adopted children to perform in the YouTube videos, including forced ice baths and pepper spraying their genitals. Police say that while they presented this happy-go-lucky family on YouTube, the life for the children was just awful. According to the court papers, they were being starved, locked in a closet for days. They were beaten with belts, brushes, and hangers. Hackney used pepper spray on the kids' faces and bodies, including their genitals, leaving them in agony for days. The children told the investigators about all of this. Forced ice baths and stress positions were her other favorite method to ensure compliance. At least one of the boys bled from hard pinching on the tip of his genitals. And as the abuse was going on, this woman was getting rich from her YouTube channel. Some industry estimates are that she could have made as much as $2.5 million in advertising revenue from this channel. The woman also has a biological daughter, and she first alerted police to what this mom was doing to the adopted kids. They found one adopted child in a closet wearing only a diaper. The other six kids appeared to be malnourished. They were pale in complexion, dark rings under their eyes, underweight. They said they were thirsty and hungry. And then when the kids started describing how mom would torture them to get them to perform. And that's what it takes to become a YouTube media star these days. All you have to do is be willing to torture little adopted kids. Those poor kids, man. Anybody could have adopted them. And they go to a mom who wanted to make money off of them and tortured them in order to do so. It's amazing. Almost as amazing as this story. In East St. Louis, two Head Start teachers are on paid administrative leave after allegations that preschoolers were forced to strip off all of their clothes as part of punishment for misbehaving. In this Head Start program, and I've got some other court documents on this one as well, four of the 20 students in the class were forced to take all their clothes off. These kids are 4 and 5 years old. The punishment had been going on since February, but police were just notified last week. The woman said that the teachers said that they'd been disciplining the students because nothing else was working. Teachers are 26 and 41 years old. But paid administrative leave. So the taxpayers get to keep paying those teachers a salary. And then finally, oh, I've told you before that when I get a pizza hot out of the oven, I can't wait to take a bite. And I don't know how many times I've burned the roof of my mouth. It's so stupid. You know, even a rat, they have those experiments where the rat, if it hits one lever, it gets food. If it hits the other lever, it gets an electric shock. And the rats learn not to hit that lever. Well, I've burned the roof of my mouth more times than I care to remember. And I'll still do it. I bet I'll do it again sometime before I die. Unless I die tonight. Because I'm dumber than a rat with an electric shock. You just got to know, don't eat really hot food. And I wish this woman down in Texas, I wish she'd heard my warning. She went to Olive Garden, and they have stuffed mushrooms on the menu. And she ate one of them right when it came out of the kitchen. And it was hot. It was really hot. How hot was it?
A woman suing Olive Garden claiming that she burned her throat so badly with a stuffed mushroom that she believed death was imminent. Danny Howard says she was not made aware that the mushrooms were extremely hot at the Tarrant County restaurant.
Now, is that necessary? They bring something right out of the oven, right to your table, and she wasn't warned that they were hot. And I love that. She thought death was imminent. She burned herself so badly.
When she took a bite, she says her throat immediately started to burn. She began to choke, ran around the restaurant looking for help, and vomited at the kitchen station. That's when the mushroom became dislodged.
She vomited at the kitchen station? Olive Garden should be suing her, not the other way around.
She says after going home, she felt she still needed to see a doctor and claims her throat began to close on her way there. She says she frantically called 911, and that's when she claims she thought she was going to die. According to her lawsuit, Howard was flown via CareFlight to Parkland Hospital's burn unit. She's suing Olive Garden for damages of $200,000 to $1 million.
She had to be airlifted out? She thought she was going to die? Because she bit into a mushroom that was too hot? I have more from the court documents in this case.
The heat is on the street.
The lawsuit says there were no admonishment or warning from the waitress that the appetizers were particularly hot or carried the risk to cause severe burns. They also claim in the lawsuit that the stuffed mushrooms in question were defective and unsafe for their intended purpose at the time. The woman drove herself home, but then had to be airlifted to the hospital, as you heard in the news report. You know why? Because with those mushrooms...
The heat is on.
Yeah, that's why. Olive Garden has not responded to the lawsuit filed against them. Just blow on your stuffed mushrooms before you eat them. They'll be fine. And all of that is today's sign. The end is near. I got to get out of here. I've said everything I have to say for today. I'm going to head out into this gorgeous afternoon. But I'll think up a bunch of great stuff for tomorrow's Thursday extravaganza. I will see you tomorrow. High noon. Ada.
Calm, cool, collected, laid back, reserved. That's him. So because of that, he doesn't apply pressure to himself.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.